Let's go ahead and look at Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. There it is, pretty clear, amen? Not once named among you. Therefore, if it's not to be once named among you, how can you listen to songs that glorify these things, right? How can you listen to anything that's of that spirit? But it's gone beyond just listening to songs about fornication, uncleanness. We're living in the day and age when they just bring this mess right into the living room with video technology. But nevertheless, you'll notice these video movies and various TV programs, they always have these rock soundtracks, you see. Look at verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient. They don't help you in your Christian life, but rather giving of thanks. Let no man deceive you with vain words. I guess some folks are going to try to deceive people today. They're going to say music is neutral. It has no power for immorality or morality. If that's so, tell that to the people that spend billions of dollars on commercials, trying to put jingles in your mind, trying to put a certain attitude in you. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And nobody, all throughout history, for centuries and centuries, they've understood the power of music to not only move people in a good way, but to also destroy nations. It says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. It says in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You cannot reprove these things when you got the headphones on and you're taking it into your heart. No fellowship, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. What about the smile and fill your heart to sing of these things? If it's wrong to speak, how much more is it wrong to sing of these things? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That's a disordered life. And I'm going to tell you something. Rock music leads to a disordered life. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalm and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Your music ought to sound thankful. Your music ought to be filled with rejoicing. It ought to be to the Lord. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Coming out of being filled with the Spirit, the next thing God starts dealing with is submission to authority. And I'm going to tell you, you've got two different spirits. You've got sobriety and gravity and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's associated with thankfulness and submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. You do it because you fear God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. If God said it, then obey it. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. That is, don't love fornication and adultery. Don't treat the wife like she's dirt. Like these rap songs and blues songs and rock songs. You're to see women as an object for your gratification. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. I tell you today, there is a music that will move you to an ordered life. It will help you be orderly. It will help you fear God. It will help you obey your parents, obey your husbands, love your wife. And there is a music that is the opposite. It leads to destruction of life on earth. It leads to disorder. It leads to rebellion against parents. It tells you to rebel against your parents. It tells you to break free from your church. Break free from your home. Destroy your home. Be a free bird. Just let go. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do ask that today, not only in this room, but any listening, to this sermon. God, you'll move upon them to see the seriousness, to see the dangers of music, to not be deceived, to learn to discern the spirits, to learn to prove all things, to keep themselves unspotted from the world, to learn, Father, the difference between the profane and the holy, to learn the difference between the clean and the unclean. God, you warn us in your Bible that your spiritual leaders, Lord, that you've raised up, many will not show their people the difference between the clean and the unclean. Oh God, help us today to rightfully show the difference. To show unclean music, the music of devils, the music of fornication and rebellion. May you bless us in this church, God, to break these addictions in whatever form they still remain, whatever high places still remain in this church, or any of our listeners today, God, I do pray that you will break these strongholds, Lord, that they will not worship you hypocritically, Father, that they will get the high places out of their life in the name of Jesus. Amen! In our study of music, we've examined psalm singing. We've looked at the difference between singing with joy and the mindless chanting of the Hindus and the pagans and the Catholics. We've seen the rise of hymn singing. We've seen the rise of spiritual songs in obedience to the Bible and history. We traced the revival camp meetings. We saw the spiritual songs that were joyous but sober in their lyrics and their music. The revival songs of the early 1800s, the revivals of Moody, and some of those spiritual songs that they brought forth. But we saw that after the Civil War, in the late 1800s, saloon music, bar music, whorehouse music pretty much bewitched the nation. And we know the 20th century began in its first two decades with ragtime and jazz, and basically people in America saying, we don't want sober music. We don't want to rejoice in spiritual things. We don't want to give thanks to God. We want to party. And God answered it with the First World War. And every time man said, we want to party, God gave him another World War. And they said, we want to party. So God wiped out more. And I tell you something, man just won't give up, will he? America won't give up, will he? America's gone even further. And I think God's still there. The same God that said no the first time. Because God doesn't think dead babies is a party. See that? God doesn't think destroyed families is party time. I tell you what, we need to learn that God wants you to have pleasure and joy, but we're to have godly joy. There's a way to have an ordered joy so it really blesses us and doesn't give us the sorrows of Satan. This ragtime and jazz music that puts the beat on the 2 and the 4 instead of the 1 and the 3 shakes the body, moves the body in a sensual way. It's a disordered music. It speaks of riot. It speaks of lawlessness. It provokes a looseness of life, a recklessness, a wandering. The biggest problem in godly churches across America is the people want to wander. Y'all listening?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Children, sit down, be still. Let's listen. Because I'm going to tell you something. This is very serious, what I have to say today. There is a reckless wandering in our churches. Wandering around, wandering from our families, wandering away from the house of God for carnal reasons. There's a fleshly selfishness. There is an immaturity that comes with disordered music. You're immature, you like it, and it keeps you immature and foolish. The message of the music of ragtime and jazz was party. It's the message of rock and roll. It's the message of hip-hop. Party! Whatever you want to call it. Whatever little detours it took. Disco. Bebop. Boogie-woogie. Whatever name you want to give the trash. It's all the same. Rebel! Party! Let go! Forget about tomorrow! Now, it's the opposite spirit to godly submission. God's into triumph. God's into rejoicing and shouting. God's into playing with cunning and skill. But God's not into a music that says, disorder your life. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be careful. I think it's pretty simple to see that even in art music, you ended up with foolishness. You ended up with basically people, the theosophists or whoever they are, they ended up saying, this is music. You say, well, that's insane. I know, but people in the 20th century sit around and listen to trash like that and think that it's godly. And I'll show you that in other days. But jazz was the music of flappers. Women wearing men's clothes, cutting their hair short. It was the music of immodesty. It was the music of ruining your physical health. It was the music of ruining your moral health. We saw in our last study how Thomas Dorsey took the jazz blues of the nightclubs and brought it from the clubs right into the churches. He did that in the 1930s in the face of much opposition. But now our churches are no different than the world. Now we have churches where what you hear on Sunday morning is not much different at all from what you... And actually, if you close your eyes, it's hard to hear any difference. Basically, they have the lyrics euphemistically disguised. So really, if you want to apply it to fornication, you can. If you want to try to see some higher meaning in the words, I guess you can. But it's hard to associate their lyrics with a higher meaning when you have the same exact movements and dancing and sensual ways of singing that you have in the world. It's just pure stupidity is what it is. People ought to be ashamed of themselves. People in America ought to be ashamed of themselves for rising up to play in such foolishness in the name of Christ. When I got saved, I'm going to tell you something. I had a brief experience with Christian so-called rock. But I'm going to tell you something. I was coming this way. I was coming out. I'm going this way. And these guys are coming this way. And we met for a little while. And they're saying, we're going to have fun. We're going to party. We're going to walk around with earrings. We're going to walk around with pants painted on. We're going to have little Christian girl groupies jumping around as they watch the rock guy. We're going to bang our heads. We're going to destroy our families. God forbid. I remember disgust in my spirit. I remember thinking, wow, y'all ought to get down to the Dallas clubs. I'm coming out of that trash. Y'all ought to get down there. And then I realized most of them were there. Saturday night, Sunday they were in the churches. As long as you had church late enough. As I continue to rebuke rock music and rap and whatever you want to call it, I'm speaking from Bible knowledge. And you know what? The Bible is all you need. God gives us all things that we need that pertain to life and godliness. But sadly today, I can also speak from experiential knowledge. Perhaps there'll be some that listen to some of this sermon and say, what does a fundamental Baptist preacher know about rock music? He doesn't even know what he's talking about. Maybe there'll be some children that'll roll their eyes and say, what is this preacher? Maybe some father wants their teenager to listen to a sermon like this, and they're sitting there rolling their eyes saying, what does he know about any of this? I'll tell you what, all I need to know is what the Bible says. And all you need to know is what the Bible says. If the Bible says don't walk in fire, you better not walk in it. If it says don't touch fire, you better not touch it. If it says don't walk on coals, you better not walk on coals. You don't got to be a fool and go out there and walk on coals just to see, oh, it is hot. Why don't you just believe God to begin with? You don't have to go try Satan and prove Satan and taste Satan and say, Satan, let me see if you really pay. Then end up with curses and destruction and scars and say, well, the Bible was right. Why don't we just believe God that the Bible's right? But perhaps there are some that think I'm some preacher who's damning something I know nothing about. And I'm going to say it again, just so I'm not misunderstood. We don't have to know various forms of evil experientially to rebuke them. But since I was foolish enough to get burned by the fire, I want to use my experience to warn others. I'll give you a very brief biography. And then I'll get into the purpose of my sermon today. I began taking guitar lessons at a very young age. A guitar is not evil, but it can sure be used for evil. And what happens is sometimes good things can be used for evil. And sometimes when you go to teach somebody something, they want to copy what they see in the world. They want to copy what they see. And sometimes the way children are raised today, all they see is bad. I began at a very young age learning to read music. Both of my uncles played guitar. One, my whole life, even today, has played in country honky-tonks in South Carolina. That's what he did for a living. He was a honky-tonk guitar player, singer in the country bars of South Carolina. I grew up singing country songs in weekend family jam sessions. I have a tape around 8 years old singing these honky-tonk country songs, but I'm going to tell you something. Most of those were pretty much like rock music. I mean, really, when you really look at it all, it's talking about drinking, it's talking about divorce, it's talking about the rebellious spirit. It's the same spirit. They called it outlaw country music. Basically, they don't sing about mama and family and church and godliness. They sing about beer drinking and fornication and divorce and rambling. And I tell you what, it's the same stuff. So that was in my veins from the time I was young. Between 8 and 11, I wrote songs about I'll Be at the Top. I was looking at some of the lyrics earlier and I realized I was consumed at 8 years old, 11 years old. I was consumed with probably what a lot of young people are consumed with still today. Fame. Trying to be famous. While barely a teenager, I was leaving all weekend to play in bands with people already out of school. This is what music will do for you. This is what putting your child in music without any controls, without any restraint. And most folks don't know. I didn't have a church-going family. But at 13 and 14 years old, I'm seeing things that I shouldn't see. I'm leaving my home all weekend. The folks I'm with are all guitar players and musicians that are already graduated school or they dropped out of school. I brought some of them into my ninth grade talent show. As I played for my school in South Carolina, the song Cocaine. My granddad shook his head at me. I didn't know what I was doing. I'm bringing these pretty much adults into a ninth grade talent show. I moved to Texas and began playing in a band with Tim Rushlow. Tim Rushlow started a country band named Little Texas. I thought his hair was too short. That's how messed up I was morally. I told Tim Rushlow his hair's too short. Later, he grew his hair longer, and he became famous with many top 10 hits in country music, rockabilly. He launched a solo country career. I began a job playing rock music at Six Flags for a summer. I became a full-time guitar instructor at a music school and later our own family's music store. I had 40 and sometimes up to 60 students a week for many, many years. This immersed me into every kind of music, from blues to rap to funk to rock. But it also showed me something else. By dealing with these children every week, I would go from looking at clean-cut kids who would come and begin to look up to me. Then I would see their musical styles begin to change. I would see their hair begin to change. I would see the type of shirts they begin to wear change. I would basically see a nice planted child that's about to bloom and be godly turn into a disordered, reckless mess that you couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl. I would see the fear on parents' faces. I would see them plead to me as a guitar teacher and say, "You're about the only stable thing. You're about the only thing he looks up to in life." And I would look at them confused, realizing, well, if you keep them with me, I'm glad to take your money, but if you keep them with me, I'll teach them how to play guitar. But I knew in my heart their life was going to be destroyed. And that's what I did for a living. Every day, except for Sunday. My local band won a place on a local Texas album called Metal Cruelty. I was almost signed to Wicked Records before they fell apart. I began winning local guitar contests 1 year before I was baptized. As I see the devil's hand upon me and his goal for my life, I also see God's goal for my life. And there was a battle, and I praise God. He won! I invented a guitar technique. I was told by Hot Licks instruction videos that they'd never seen anything like it. But I have to make some songs and make a name for myself before entering into the instruction market. During these days, my local rival, Daryl Abbott, became a friend of mine. He gave me much honor. His band, Pantera, would become one of the top satanic metal bands in the world. He advised me to produce videos showcasing my technique. By following his advice, I was almost signed to a record label with a popular metal band. But at that point, my religious convictions caused me, when they asked me, "Why are you happy that you're about to be signed? Are you going to go off and do heroin?" I said, "No. I'm just happy that I can be a good influence on children." Stupidest thing to tell a record company when you're about to join a satanic band that really does worship Lucifer. Silence was on the phone. In a few days, I'd lost everything, at least from a worldly perspective. But I believe what I gained by getting off that train was far more valuable than anything this world can offer. I would not trade what I understand now about God's kingdom and free grace salvation, my precious family, my wife, my children, my church. I would not trade it for anything the devil offered me. Amen. I parted ways with Daryl Abbott. And as a born-again man, I stood in his studio. And I gave him my testimony that rock music will not satisfy you. You've made it into a god. I made it into a god, and it was never meant to be God. There's only one God. As he mashed the button of his latest hit song, he said, "Man, that's a sad life. It's sad that you burned out." He went his way, I went my way. A while later, he was shot in the head and killed by a madman, devil-possessed. Before he died, I met him one time as a street preacher, as he hollered out from a local bar in Dallas. He yelled to me, remembering my words, shaking his head and scorning the path that I had took, but remembering my warnings to him. In the next few years, I would become an assistant preacher for Heavenly Metal Ministries. Boy, that sounds like a good ministry, doesn't it? It was a ministry for so-called Christian rockers. I saw destruction after destruction. We changed the direction somewhat. We called it The Refuge, which was still a come-as-you-are type of church. The pastor left, fell into sin. Just about everybody else did too. Some stayed. Most of the marriages that I remember in that day were lost and destroyed. I became a pastor. We later started Refuge King James Bible Church, later Kingdom Baptist, each step moving further and further away from the family-destroying, soul-destroying rock music. But you got to make sure the Spirit's not still left in you. You got to understand that that reckless hippie spirit, that wandering, I want to be free spirit, is still in this old flesh. And it's still in your flesh. And you have to be extra careful not to stir it up by your love of the world. I'm done right now with things I count as dung for the knowledge of Christ. I've spent years giving warnings, watching them ignored. I spent years looking at men right in the eyes and warning them about their fleshly spirit, their love of rock music. And I've seen destruction after destruction. As they tell me the world doesn't hurt, I said, go rub your face in it then. I've had my face rubbed in it. It does hurt. I've seen marriages fail. I've seen children morally destroyed. I've seen people that can't sit still in one place. Then I look around and realize that here's Dan Lucarini, why I left the contemporary Christian music movement. Same testimony, just about. Worldly musician. Began to be a praise and worship leader of contemporary rock music, Christian music. He saw marriages fail, souls destroyed. There's something about that music. You say, well, you don't need alcohol to divorce. No, you don't. You can be a fool. You can get out of here and be selfish and lawless and rebellious. You don't need alcohol, but alcohol sure helps Satan, doesn't it? You don't need rock music to have a rock spirit, but it sure does help the devil. I close this section by saying if rock guitar music is measured by raw power, speed, and frenzy, my old material and live videos are still ahead of the game today. I'm not trying to brag. I'm trying to say I was a servant of Satan and I tried to do it well. But now I'm a servant of God. Amen. So any punk kids out there thinking that they're going to go into this little worldly rock music? I could do with my right hand on the guitar what you're trying to do with your left. I'm trying to tell you, trying to be something for Satan is going to kill you. It's going to destroy you. And I know what I'm talking about. So I don't think it's funny to get up here and play the guitar like you're trying to rock out like some punk who's a servant of Satan. Amen. Because the devil wants to turn you into a sodomite, a fornicator, and destroy your life. My goal was to make people lose their minds. Now I want them to keep their mind. I can only hope that I've helped more people now than I've cursed in my earlier life. Now I'm done. Now I'm going to preach against rock and roll music. In a few decades, jazz blues in the 1930s would merge into rock and roll. It would be adopted by teenagers as their own music of rebellion and self-destruction. What was pornographic and blasphemous in the blues lyrics of the 1920s and 30s would be sold to the children of America in the 1950s and 60s. You would have a British invasion where they would sit and listen to the pornographic blues lyrics of the 1920s and 30s, and they would come over here to America with amplifiers and Marshall stacks and electric guitar and play back the same pornographic blues music, now with distortion, and they had acid and drugs and all of these ways to just basically ruin the youth of America and destroy the country. It was already toxic to adults. What do you think these pornographic lyrics is going to do to the children? It was somewhat underground in the 1930s. But it would come into the mainstream. In fact, Jimi Hendrix would call himself the voodoo child. And you can see how voodoo music, there's no confusion. You can listen to a few videos, I don't suggest you do it, but you can listen to a few videos online and see people over in Haiti. You can see the beats that they're playing. And I sat here and I realized, well, I can almost name the songs that these beats are coming out of. I'm not lying. I'm not telling you. Listen to it. As you see them move around and do their sick stuff, I'm going to tell you something. It's not much different than a rap concert today. Jimi Hendrix knew what he's talking about when he said, I'm the voodoo child. Because he knew good and well, this stuff came right from voodoo, entered into blues and jazz, and entered right into rock and roll mainstream of America. The blues songs of the 20s and 30s cannot even be quoted for you today. They are so blasphemous and pornographic, it would be a shame. I can't even quote a line of them, hardly. Female blues singers like Bessie Smith and Annette Hadshaw were disgusting. The whole point was to be wicked. The blues singers were using the words rock and roll in their lyrics to speak of fornication as early as 1929. What does that mean when a generation of youth likes rock and roll when all that is a pornographic lyric of blues singers just a few decades earlier? These blues songs speak of blasphemy like you would not believe, taking God's name in vain. They speak of sodomy as a good thing. Say, oh, I love the old blues. Well, they're sodomites. They sing about sodomy. Oh, I love so-and-so and so-and-so. Blind nose, whatever he is. I love so-and-so. Well, listen to what they're singing about. You like sodomy? You like beating up women? You like drunkenness and stupidity? Robert Johnson, who recorded in the 1930s, is called the grandfather of rock and roll. He sings, I went down to the crossroads and fell down on my knees. And he says, I made a pact with Satan. Well, you pretty much did. Though Satan already had your soul, you need to get born again. But you can certainly, I believe, make a pact with him that you'll continue in your stupidity. He sings about, me and the devil was walking side by side. I'm going to beat my woman. Hellhounds are on my trail. Tormented all his life. That sound like the joy of the Spirit? That sound like something you want to listen to all day? Drive around in your car. Devils are after me. I'm going to go beat my woman. Oh, I made a pact with the devil. Woke up this morning. I'm walking with the devil. Oh, yeah. Great, 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 great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sound good? You believe in the devil? You believe there is a devil? Our founding fathers warned us repeatedly, as the Bible does, that immorality will destroy our country. The second U.S. president, John Adams, said our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Did you hear what he just said? He said, your Constitution in America will work as long as you don't get into whorehouse music. As long as you don't become a bunch of whores. He said, your Constitution will work. But if you rise up to play and say, well, it's not my fault, I'm going to party, you'll destroy this country. You'll destroy this country. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Now, this is right here out of the Bible, because Psalms 9, verse 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Do you see that? Did you hear that? Did you hear what God said? God said He's going to open up hell and cause the nations to fall in that forget God. You hear what God said? God said to America right here, because that's nations with an S. God says, what nations? All the nations. So therefore, if America forgets God, if America decides it wants to rock and roll and fornicate and party, it'll be turned into hell. Cyril Scott, a theosophist, a worshiper of Lucifer, along with David Tame and some of these others. He was, if you listen to Cyril Scott's music, it sounds like this. That was Cyril Scott. I'm dead serious. I'm not lying. He was not a fan of jazz, but nevertheless, what he replaced it with was the most disordered, insane, demonic music that you could ever imagine. And he was way before his time. Because now, basically, his agenda is in New Age music. It's found in the record store, CD stores of today under New Age music, see? Where you have some classical melodies mixed with the most insane dissonance and confusion that you've ever heard. And there's something eerie about it. There's something disordered about it. It sounds nice, and then all of a sudden, you can get an idea when you listen to 101 classical station at night. If you ever listen during the day, you said, wow, this is good stuff. And then listen at night, and you're like, what in the world is this? I can't sleep to that. That's what we're dealing with today. It's disordered, because God is a God of order. Cyril Scott says, the prevalent notion holds that styles of music are merely the outcome and expression of civilizations and national feelings. That is to say that the civilization comes first and its characteristic species of music afterward. But an examination of history proves the truth to be exactly the reverse. An innovation in musical style has invariably been followed by an innovation in politics and morals. What does he say? He's saying that he can prove, as a worshiper of Lucifer, as a follower of Madame Blavatsky, who wants to bring in an Antichrist world to America and the whole world, he's saying, I can prove that music changes the country and not the other way around. It's not that you just have the music because you're evil. I think some of that's true. But he's saying much of it is that the music changes the people. You get a hold of the music, find a way to market it into the youth who are too gullible to do anything about it, they'll eat it and ingest it and become fools. Balaam taught Balak how to overthrow Israel by wicked women. And you know, these things all go together. Bad wine, bad women, bad music. They go together. And bad men are right there in the middle of it all. The enemies of our nation. Do you not think that they saw in jazz and blues, at a time when most of the nation was turning from it as whorehouse music and stupidity, they saw in jazz and blues a key to destroying America? Communists began to look at what was happening, and they began to say, we can use this, we're going to come over to America, fund this, start record companies, and we're going to feed this to the masses, and what is some obscure underground thing, we will bring out into the forefront of mainstream America and destroy America with it. They basically bragged, and they said, the communists said, we will not raise the red flag over America. Americans will do it for us. Let me prove it to you. In Search of the Blues, a modern book, says within weeks of Lead Belly's return to New York, Mary Beth Barnacle was paying him to perform for her classes and serving as his unofficial manager. Basically, Lead Belly was a murderer. And a man named Lomax went into the prisons looking for trash folk songs. He found in Lead Belly a singer of trash folk songs. And he said, you know what? I'm going to parade him around America if the warden will let him out of prison, and I can get him out of prison. I'm going to parade him around America. And people in these obscure clubs, nightclubs, will want to come hear the authentic folk music of America. He didn't want spirituals. He didn't want anything godly. So this man began traveling around with Lomax. Well, the communists saw in all of this something that they could grab a hold of. And they said, oh, this is what we've done. This is the battle plan for every country. You walk into a country, you find out who the angry people are, and you take those people and you deceive them and say, basically, you're oppressed. You can't make anything of yourself because you're being held down by the people that be. So what we want to do is we want to empower you to break the shackles and rebel. The communist leader of China that murdered probably more people than any man on the face of the earth said, we're for the people. And all those Chinese said, the people? Well, we're the people. And they said, yes, yes, overthrow the powers that be. Come on, you're oppressed. Scream out. Holler for your rights. And those poor Chinese went for it, hook, line, and sinker. And they overthrew their government. They disentangled every facet of society. Then the communist leaders of China said, thanks, fool. And now they have the most oppressed, one of the most oppressed nations on the face of the earth. They tell you how many children to have. They tell you when to get an abortion. They control your life. And if you talk back to them, buddy, you'll find yourself dead, shot in the head, or thrown in prison. You don't have religious freedom over there. You don't have no freedom, hardly. You say, how did that happen? Foolish people allowed fools to sell them something that looked good, and then they enslaved them. So what these communists understood was they said, hey, we can get a hold of this blues music and we can use it to destroy families and bring down America. And if you can't look at rap and hip-hop and see Somebody's funding it. Somebody, the same people that send the drugs into the cities to destroy the cities are the same people that send hip-hop and rap to destroy the city. Do you understand what's going on here? Just because you change your name and you don't call yourself a communist anymore, what does that matter? It's the same junk. So what I'm telling you is that Satan uses rock music to destroy, because he comes to steal, to destroy, to kill. And Satan's men use rock music to destroy. You call it grunge, rap, I don't care what you call it. It's all the same mess, just a different flavor. But Mary Beth Barnacle was paying Lead Belly to perform for her classes and serving as his unofficial manager in the mid-1930s, the heyday of the Popular Front, that is communism. In the same year that Lead Belly returned to New York, the American Music League, a collection of musicians and music lovers affiliated with the Communist Party, announced its intention to collect, study, and popularize American folk music and its traditions. With Barnacle's help, Lead Belly soon joined Woody Guthrie and Aunt Molly Jackson in a new pantheon of left icons. Richard Wright, a member of the Communist Party, befriended Lead Belly in 1937. Wright's article in the Daily Worker amounted to a radical revision of the Lead Belly saga. It began to paint him as a victim. Owing in large part to Wright's article, by the end of the decade, Lead Belly had become a left cause celebrity. The left brought Lead Belly an eager audience. So what they did was they came in and they said, Lead Belly is persecuted. He's not a drunken murderer, blasphemous. No, he's a persecuted person. We're going to make him a spokesman for the persecuted in America. For example, Lead Belly began to sing the bourgeois blues. Bourgeois is a word that communists use to describe the powers that be that you have to break the shackles of. You say, well, aren't there some shackles in the powers that be? Sure, friend, but you're not going to break them by listening to the devil. You understand that? You can't go over to Satan and say, well, you help me get some more liberties in America. It doesn't work that way. People use you. They pretend to be defenders of the troubled masses. But what they're trying to do is cause tension between classes, between black and white, between the oppressed and the unoppressed. They want to cause tension because that's what plays into their hand. People that are united and getting along, no, that doesn't work. You can't have them coexisting in cities and churches and godliness. Christ brings peace. Christ brings you. But you can't have that. We've got to get rid of that. We've got to stir up anger and resentment. Make them think you can't get a job unless we take from everybody. We must use the government to come in and take from the rich and give to the poor. And as long as you vote for me, I'll be your savior to help you. No, what they're doing is destroying your country. Do you understand that? People ought to give their money, but it ought not be forced from them. Jesus is in the heart-changing business. It's Jesus that changes people's hearts. If you want people to change, it's not by forcing upon them the yokes of government. As Bill Clinton quotes the Sermon on the Mount, as Jimmy Carter, false prophet, quotes the Sermon on the Mount and says, see what Jesus said? He said to love your neighbor. We're here for the oppressed. You lying dogs, that's what they are. I'm going to tell you something. They're not there for the oppressed. They're there to use the government, turn it into a socialistic program of taking money. You say, you're messing with politics now. No, I'm messing with false prophets. You understand that? The Bible said rebuke false prophets. And anybody that quotes the name of Jesus to bring communism in America is a false prophet. And I'm telling you today, blues music, jazz, rock and roll, and rap were used by the communists of this nation to destroy this nation, to destroy the family. They're still using it today. And people are listening to it. People say, well, this is my music. No, that's not your music. It's a bunch of trash. Well, it's for my people. Yeah, to keep your people enslaved in a bunch of garbage. So you'll scream and vote for socialism. What the Bible says about alcohol and other drugs is true about rock music. Proverbs 23 says, look not thou upon the wine when it's red. At last it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thy heart shall utter perverse things. Well, that sounds like rock music, doesn't it? That sounds like rock and rap and all of that mess. So what's the Bible's answer? If you don't want to behold strange women, if you don't want to get numb and dead to reality, you know what the Bible's answer is? Don't even mess with it to begin with. Don't touch it. Run from it. When you hear it, you say, I don't really like that. Well, don't mess with it because soon it'll grab you and you will like it. You take your first sip of alcohol, you spit it out, you say, that's gross, and you go puke. That's how it ought to be. Don't even take the first sip. But after a while, you keep causing nerve damage. You keep putting that poison in you. Pretty soon you get a taste for the poison. And it's like that with this music. You're like, what in the world is that racket? Well, keep listening to it. You'll get addicted. Just like you look at those Hindu girls that are devil-possessed with those gurus and that Hinduism, you'll get the same look on your eyes. They show those Hindu people in a frenzy, losing their mind as they're filled with devils, as the guru comes walking down the road. And then all of a sudden you fast forward it to a rock concert and you see the same look in their eyes, the same hypnotized, trance-like state as they follow the idols. They're just gurus. That's all they are. They brought voodoo, Hinduism to America, and basically they fall into the same idol worship. So let's not even look at it. It's addicting. It's a drug. It's intoxicating. As you look at the Haitian people with their voodoo beat, their immorality and immodesty writhing around, and you look at their eyes, trance-like, intoxicated, intoxicated by the beat. Look at the attitude people get. Boy, they get in that car and they slam the door and they crank on that stereo and that beat starts pulverizing their brain. And you look at that attitude they get. Boy, they have that proud look. Oh, you're something, aren't you? You're an idiot is what you are. You understand that? And I'm speaking to you as a fellow idiot that's been deceived by the mess. Boy, we thought we were something. Boy, you crank in some of that southern rock, man. You start driving around. Boy, you feel like you're something. You're a fool. You're an idiot. The music basically says, who cares about tomorrow? Live for the moment. Let everything go. Rock on. Pavlov, the psychologist, basically discovered that when he brings food to a dog and turns a red light on, the dog begins to associate the light with the food. And so basically when he would salivate in seeing the food, then they didn't send the food, they just gave the light. And the same saliva would come out of the dog's mouth when he saw the light because he began to associate the light with the food. And I'm going to tell you something. Not only is rock and roll fornication music to begin with, but I'm going to tell you something. It has been associated with fornication and lawlessness in America today. So when you hear that music, just like Pavlov's dog, you begin to associate that music with a rebellious spirit. It begins. You can watch people, even Christians, begin to change how they walk, change how they act, change the expressions on their face. You can see their attitudes begin to change. It's association, see. Why are you standing like that now? Why are you walking the way you... As you study people and begin to look, I like to study these things and see how things affect people. And you watch how they change, how they act, how they move. What's going on? Rock and roll is not the music of order. If you want to keep your marriage together, you better get far from rock and roll and anything that sounds like it. You better get far from anything that sounds like a bar. You better get far from anything that brings that same spirit because you have that mess in your veins. And just like Pavlov's dog, I'm going to tell you something. You start listening to that mess, I don't care if you even change the lyrics. Yeah. Jesus, Jesus. You just change the lyrics. It's still the same mess. And it'll put in you an attitude that preaches to you, break free. Look at your mean husband. Look at your mean father. Or why are you stuck with this wife? You ought to break free and be a rambling man, you know, wandering around, not tied down. See, that's the spirit it puts in you, folks. It's the opposite of Baroque music. Dealing with Mozart, they have discovered the most amazing thing. Study after study have found that children, on tests, their ability to control themselves. And Mozart is one step removed from Bach. So if you listen to Bach and Handel and Monteverdi and Scarlatti and Vivaldi and Telemann and Purcell, the Baroque music from 1600 to 1750, if that's all you did, it leads to order. It leads to intellectual understanding. It leads to peace in your heart. Because it doesn't repeat over and over and over. And it gives you just a little bit of a difference every time. It's mathematical. It leads you into a joyous yet sober order of life. They've proven that it makes one physically stronger. It sharpens the mind. It leads to temperance and carefulness. You put children in a room and they began to hold hands and get close to one another. And then you put the proper music on and they began to follow rules of decorum. And they can play Baroque music in neighborhoods and gangs disperse. Rock music, though, leads to excess. It's addictive. It does have a calming feeling, the same way nicotine does. But it makes you nervous until you get another hit of your rap. You understand? I got to get another hit of it. I'm starting to get nervous. I need to put it on and, I feel better now. You say, it makes me relax. Well, so does cocaine. So does heroin. So do all drugs. Psalms 119, the psalmist says, Thy statutes have been my songs. But Psalm 69 speaks of the song of the what? Y'all awake today? Song of the what? Drunkards. Galatians 5 warns of envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There is a music that is associated with drunkenness and revelings and such like. Do you think you can listen to the music of reveling and not end up in the same sins? Not end up with some disorder in your life? What does revel mean? Well, it comes from the word rage, where we get the word rabies and rabid. It is to corral, to act the bacchanalian, which is debauchery, where they run in a frenzy and rip open animals apart and put the blood all over them and end up in fornication as they run around in a circle. You see somewhat the prophets of Baal as they cut themselves and leaped upon the fire. You see that type of spirit. And that's what revel is. It's a carousing, a partying. Boy, we're going to go out on the town and we're going to have some disorder tonight. We're going to tear it up. Well, there's music. People don't say, oh, we're going to go out on the town and fornicate. Let's get in a fight. Man, we're just going to have a good time. Let's break some street signs. Let's bust some windows. Man, we're just going to have a party time. They're not listening to Bach, folks. They're not singing Isaac Watt in their CD player. They're not driving down the road with Yesu Joy, a man's desiring. Romans 13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Well, guess what? There's a music of rioting and drunkenness. Not in chambering. That's living together before marriage. Wantonness. Not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's why you need to get far from wine, alcoholic wine. You need to get far from rock music. Things that, well, this is an imitation. It's Christian. Well, guess what? You had Diana and Venus, and Mary was an imitation Venus. Oh, we still got the statue, but we're going to call her Mary. We still got the pagan practices, but we're going to Christianize them. Oh, it's still the same fornication party music. See, she sounds like she's in a bar. See, it sounds like it's rock and roll, but we have Christian lyrics. Folks, get far from it. Because I'm telling you, and you need to listen to the preacher, you need to listen to the Word of God, you need to not be deceived, it will mess you up. Amen. The devil's setting you up to put that spirit in you, and you don't even know he's doing it. And then all of a sudden, he's going to cause some trouble in your life, and that's when he strikes. And you've got that spirit in you, you've got that attitude, you don't even know where it came from. And you're going to be free as a bird. I'm free from my church. I'm free from that preacher. I'm free from my husband. I'm free from my wife. I'm free from my parents. Oh, go be free. But read 2 Peter 2 before you take your step of freedom. Because God says while they promised them liberty, it's only to make them greater slaves. It's only to make them servants of sin, servants of corruption, servants of their own selfish desires. I tell you what true liberty is being able to come in here and be free from the devil, being free from yourself, being free from worldliness. That's liberty. Being free to cause your marriage to survive, free to be godly and respect authority. But the Bible says that there's wantonness. Wanton means a wandering or roving. We're missing stability today, but you know in Genesis that the dry land does not appear until you have separation from the waters. Separation from light and darkness. There's no stability without separation from music. I know folks have been Christian almost 20 years, so called. And they never departed from wicked music. And they're the same. They got thumbs in their mouth. I tell you what, they're the same baby. They don't know anything about Christ. They need to be taught the foundations of the Word of God. They've never grown. They've got the same questions that they did years ago. And most people would doubt that they're even saved. I'm going to tell you something. We're saved by the grace of God through faith alone. But if you don't separate from ungodly music, you will never grow, and you'll find out that God hates strange fire, and He'll begin to curse. He'll begin to judge you and make an example out of you. And He's saying, see what happens to people that play with strange fire? Oh, they talk a big talk, don't they? Some of them are still talking a big talk. You call me a Pharisee, you go ahead. You're the one that got shipwrecked, buddy. You run your mouth against me, as you want to drink up Hollywood and drink up your rock music, you keep running your mouth. All you are is bitter. And the truth of the matter is, if you ever get right in the Lord, you'll understand that God loves you, I love you, and every preacher of righteousness loves you. Amen. And all we're trying to do is warn you. And if you've already messed up by playing with the mess, and you got a bad spirit, and you made a mess of your life because of messing around with things God told you not to mess with, repent. Amen. Come in and be an evangelist for us. Come in and get on our side and help warn more against it. We need more. Help us. Help save some more families. Jude says, there are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. They listen to that ecumenical spirit. That spirit that says we ought to just leave people alone. There shouldn't be standards. There shouldn't be rules. Trees whose fruit withered. Boy, you ever seen some Christians and their fruit withered? Without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root, raging waves of the sea. They're here, they're there, they're everywhere. They're all over the place, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Do you see the wandering spirit, the wanton spirit? If you can't see that that's in rock music, Lord help you. Every blues song is about the rambling man. The man who's wandering down the road. I'm not going to stay at home. I'm a free bird. I got to move on down the road. I can't be stuck with a wife. Oh, I tell you what, you're cramping my style. I got to get out here and wander around, because that's true manliness, to be a man. Is that true? You don't need rock music to be carnal, but sure helps Satan. Lawrence O'Donnell, Music in the Brain, says the order of the music from the Baroque and classical periods causes the brain to respond in special ways. This order includes repetition and changes, certain patterns of rhythm and pitch, and mood contrast. One key ingredient to the order of music from the Baroque and classical periods is math. This is realized by the body, and the human mind performs better when listening to this ordered music. Lawrence O'Donnell, Music in the Brain. But Washington Times in 1997 reports, heavy metal makes killer mice, teens find. David Merrill, a high school student from Suffolk, Virginia, won top honors in regional and state science fairs for his experiment involving mice, a maze, and hard rock music. After establishing a baseline of about 10 minutes for the mice to navigate the maze, Dave started playing music 10 hours a day, then put the mice through the maze 3 times a week for 3 weeks. His findings? The control group of mice, which did not listen to music, were able to cut 5 minutes off their time. The mice that listened to classical music cut 8.5 minutes off their time. And the mice that listened to hard rock music took 20 minutes longer to navigate the maze. David said, I had to cut my project short because all the hard rock mice killed each other. None of the classical mice did that at all. It stirred them up into a frenzy and caused rage. They'd done the same studies with uncivilized savages where they played classical music. And the people came toward the box and were amazed, and they had a peaceful spirit. Then all of a sudden they put on jazz or rock music. And they began to go in a frenzy and get confused and begin to run from the box. And what's the point? They've done it with plants. Go look at some of the plant studies online and see what music does as plants grow. It's amazing. Rock music is the music of disorder. It inhibits a child from learning. It inhibits maturity. And some people are so immature as they walk around, bouncing around to their music. They've got such a carnal, foolish spirit on them. And we're not even talking about the lyrics. 1 Corinthians 15 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Rock music is a wicked form of communication. Frank Zappa, rock and roll musician, says rock music is fornication. Of course it is. It's a pornographic word. From the blues, from the pornographic blues. Time magazine in 1969 says, by its beat and its sound, rock music has always implicitly rejected restraint and celebrated freedom and sexuality. Rock music is basically teaches one thing, rebel! What were the philosophical statements of the me generation? If it feels good, do it. That's it. Be experienced, says Jimi Hendrix. Throw off shackles. Dr. Alan Bloom, in The Closing of the American Mind, says rock music has one appeal only, a barbaric appeal to lewd desire, not to a pure, unselfish love. They cannot take seriously anything alien to their music. It basically infatuates their whole life. They have to go to a church. You got to give me my 20 minutes of rock and roll or I'm not going to attend. Are you crazy? You're that big of a baby and you have to have rock and roll in your church for 15 minutes or you're going to go suck your thumb somewhere? It's no wonder you lose your family and lose your soul. Isn't that ridiculous? That's how they are though. I have to have it. I have to have it in my life. Because you're on drugs, that's why. Alan Bloom says, I suspect that the rock addiction, particularly in the absence of strong counter-attractions, has an effect similar to that of drugs. Well, you're right, Dr. Alan Bloom. David Bowie says, rock has always been devil's music. Well, certainly it is. So why does any kid want to go serve the devil? You like Satan? You think Satan's a nice fella? You think Satan's going to be your friend? Satan's going to give me power. You think so? Satan wants to destroy you. Jesus says Satan comes as a thief, a liar, a murderer. David Crosby of Crosby, Stills, and Nash tells Rolling Stone magazine, I'm just talking about changing these kids' value system, which removes them from their parents' world very effectively. What are they saying? They're saying this music will alienate them from their parents. God's Spirit, when God sends Elijah, what will Elijah do? He will come, and he's coming pretty soon. And when you see fire come out of his mouth, buddy, I tell you what, when you see fire coming down out of heaven, when Elijah stands up, Elijah is going to turn fathers' hearts to their children and turn children to their fathers. That's what God wants to do. But what does Satan want to do? Turn children from their fathers. This is my music. I want my rebellious music. And to be rebellious, you have to go one step further than your father. So your father's listening to fornication trash. So for you to rebel against him, you have to go one step further. Then the next generation has to go one step further. And the only way to offend the next generation is to go so far into stupidity that you become an animal. Paul Kanner of Jefferson Starship Rock Band says our music is intended to alienate children from their parents. They know what they're doing. I want to make you rebel. As Van Halen says, have you seen Junior's grades? Rock on. Mess your life up. I say rock on. I say everybody, go disobey your parents. Ruin your life. Ruin your health. Get a disease. Get hit by a car. Commit suicide. Who cares? I'm making money off of you. Nikki Six of Motley Crue in 1989. Rock Beat Magazine says, we never set out to be anybody's role model. Oh, yeah. On the second album, we told kids to shout at the devil. It's about standing up to authority, whether it's your parents, your teacher, or your boss. So, what is Motley Crue? Don't you let anybody keep you down. Don't let anybody suppress you. Rebel against your husband. Rebel against your father. Rebel against your church. Rebel against whatever there is, because Satan is the arch rebel. Can I continue a few more minutes? Amen. Young people's records were run by communists. The communists set up a record company in America. It was for little children. I want to show you what they're doing. What Satan's doing and what communists are doing. Or whatever you want to call them today. On this album, they had a song based on the book The Carrot Seed by Ruth Krauss, who wrote it in 1945. The book saturated America and was even found in the Southern Baptist catalog and in Southern Baptist churches. What is The Carrot Seed about? Why are communists so interested in a song about the carrot seed? Why are they interested in this book? Very simple. A boy plants carrot seeds and his father said, that's not going to grow. And the older brother came and said, that's not going to grow. But the boy says it will grow, and he continues to water it and water it and water it till finally he ends up with beautiful carrots. And he basically shows his mama, you see there, I stuck with it, I followed my dream, I followed my heart, and look what I got. I got carrots that you said were not going to happen. Now why would a communist like a story like that? Why in the world would Satan be so interested in a story about a boy disobeying his mom and daddy and following his heart? Because that's Aleister Crowley. Do your own thing. Every man's got to become a star. You got to break with authority and go find yourself. Crowleyism. That's the book of magic. That's Satanism. Basically, communism has embodied Satanism and fed it back to America. This is the rock spirit. It's the spirit in the movies. What they gave to those little children in the carrot seed, do you think Disney and all of these children movies, do you think they don't know what they're doing when they give you the cute little Bambi? And the parents say, oh, what a cute little Bambi. This is safe for my children. It doesn't have a witch in it. But the whole purpose of Bambi is what? Rebel against Papa. Find yourself. Discover who you are. Disobey Daddy and be a free bird. What are the Harry Potter novels about? Disobey authority and become a good witch. What are the Benji movies about? Daddy's wrong. Disobey Daddy. Sweet little Benji, what a cute little dog. Disobey Daddy. And in the end, Daddy has to apologize. Are you understanding anything today? Are you understanding what Satan and the communists want for America? Why do they start with the youth, with this theme? Why is every book, every movie, zippity-doo-dah? The old movie, what was it called? Song of the South. The whole movie for the children. Daddy's wrong. Daddy just about messed up his whole family. Daddy has to repent by the end of the movie. But you, the child, were right all the time. Satanism. Communist Satanism in movies saturating American school children. Then they are teenagers already growing up by gullible, deceived, foolish parents who think, oh, well, what a nice little deer. This isn't going to hurt my child. This is a sweet movie. Have you watched the movie? Can't you see what the devil's trying to do? Well, I'm a preacher. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you watch and see what the devil's trying to do. So now they're teenagers. They've grown up with this type of mess. And now Twisted Sister, Dee Snider, puts out video that says, we're not going to take it, about daddy not liking son's music. And so son basically rebels against daddy and beats up daddy and says, we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to do our own thing. There it is. Your novels are the same thing. They have a grown-up version of the same story for you women. They have grown-up versions for you men. It's the same story because it's Lucifer. That's what he did, and he wants you to be like him. Christian, come play for us, brother. I'm going to call you right now as we close. I've extended the time a little bit, but I had something serious to say today. This thing has such saturated our churches. So many people are deceived about this. They're losing their family. They don't even know what hit them. They don't even know the music is changing their attitude. To whatever degree you have this in your heart, in your home, I'm going to call you today to put up your idols. Put up that which offends God. I'm going to call you forward for a word of prayer. Maybe you know somebody that you need to pray for. Whatever you need to do with God today, we're going to take this time to come do it. If you're just thankful God has preserved you, if God's taken you out of this mess, why don't you give Him thanks today? This is